Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you the latest and greatest in nerdy news and trending nerd topics. Explicit content warning, this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, or even sometimes crude. So you have been warned. What up, what up, what up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? What's going down, everybody?
Hello.
Hello. Christian.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Hi. How are you?
Hey.
How are you?
Hey.
Yeah. How you doing there, bud?
I'm fine, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So how are you? What's going on with you? I know you want to talk about stuff. I know you do. I know you have things to say.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Me too. But I'll let you go first.
No. You go first.
All right. So, it is Sunday Eve. It's Sunday evening. When we are sat down to record this. It's been a long, eventful weekend, guys. Saturday was a good day. We did some suntanning and got burnt like fucking lobsters.
Lobsters.
We're gonna get nice and tan soon, so it's okay. Friday was a difficult day, okay, boys and girls?
Why?
Because...
Tell us why.
You know, I learned something, right?
That I'm awesome?
I already knew that.
Okay, I'm like, just making sure.
Yeah.
Well, I had to let the people know.
Priorly established, you know?
Okay.
So I was, like, talking to this girl for, like, a little bit. And, like, I wasn't, like, that into her, to be honest. But I was like, maybe, you know, I'll get to know her and it'll be cool. And maybe, you know, I'll be attracted to her because she's a cool person. So she came over, and I was wrong. She's the worst.
God!
I know she's not gonna listen. Even if she does, I don't really feel bad. We just had nothing in common. She didn't have much to say. She doesn't really do anything. She has no ambitions. Like, find someone you're compatible with, someone that is on your level. You know, like if you guys feel like sometimes, like me, that you kind of have to settle for what you can get. Realize that you're worth more than what you think you can get, and aim for the fucking top. Because who fucking cares?
The tippity top of the mountain.
And then it got better because we went and got some good grubbins, you know.
Yeah.
And then I went to the gym later.
I was a scapegoat.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you weren't really. I mean, look at
it. You were looking for a way to kick her out. I just provided the necessary door for you to walk through.
Yeah.
Or in your case, sprint through.
I was kind of waiting for Scott to finish streaming. So I was like, you know, I was telling her, I was like, oh, well, my roommate's done streaming. We're probably going to go to the gym and get some food and stuff. So, you know, whatever. And then Scott came out and he was like, I'm going to go get some food. Like he was about to leave. And I was like, no, wait, I'm hungry too. I was like, we're going to go to the gym and get some food. Right. And he was like, oh yeah. And I looked at her. I was like, what are you going to do?
You're such a dick.
But, yeah. And then I went to the gym later. With one of our friends, are they considered a friend now? Would you say?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were like talking or whatever, and I said me and you had joked, you know, because we'd never really been friends with someone like who works at a place we frequent, right?
Yes.
You know, we made a joke like don't do anything stupid to make it awkward, you know.
Yes.
Which I mentioned that to her just like, you know, in passing, and she sent me a message on Twitter and said she told this other girl who works there, Tessa, we know. About that, and Tessa's going to make it awkward for us now. And I said, no, Tessa loves us.
Good. I'll take that down. I can conquer that mountain.
What?
I will conquer that mountain.
Yeah, I was like, no, Tessa loves us. She's not going to make things weird for us. It's going to be awesome, you know?
It's going to be great.
But yeah, so... You know, going to the gym, you know, is a great way to get over a terrible experience with somebody that you know.
The gym is just awesome in general.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a lot of positive effects.
It does.
You know.
Endorphins and dopamine and shit.
Yeah, dude. Man. It could really raise your spirits.
Yeah.
Ronnie, you're a little runt. I haven't worked out in 2 weeks, and I'm still beasting more than you.
Ronnie went. He had a roundabout way of telling me, like making me feel bad for working out, because he hadn't worked out in a while, right? So he texted me and he's like, "Dude, you need to stop killing it in the gym. I haven't been going because I've been up late talking to a girl," and stuff, like talking to her till she falls asleep at like 3-4 in the morning. So wow. He hasn't been able to go to the gym. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, fucking get in, my dude. It's all good. And then he's like, we were raised good Catholic boys, Christian. We don't have sex. And I was like, that's true for one of us.
Yeah.
But yeah.
God dang it, Ronnie.
Ronnie, you need to.
Look, first off, dude, you can still go to the gym and text her, bruh. What's your problem, mate?
Yeah, dude. Planet Fitness is 24/7. Chill out.
Chill the fuck out. All right. Yeah. Seriously, my dude. Don't be a little runt. Get in the gym.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, you want
to. So now to the big news. All right, guys. So you know how I've been like offhandedly, like, you know, every now and then, you know, mentioning my Twitch stream channel thingy, whatever you want to call it. So pretty much like over the last 2 weeks, I have been really, really grinding this whole streaming thing. I've joined a couple communities where, you know, they really help out small streamers. And, you know, I've just been doing like a lot of networking and marketing myself and just really putting in the graft. And guess what, guys? Guess what? I made Twitch affiliate. Yeah, buddy. Made
no way.
Motherfucking Twitch affiliate. I'm just waiting for some of the documents to be approved so I can get my subscription button. Which allows, you know, people, if they want to like help support, you know, a streamer, you can subscribe to them. You know, the base package is $4.99 and that gives you like a sub badge. It gives you a special channel emote that, you can use it all over Twitch, but once you're subscribed to a certain channel, usually that channel will have a sub emote and stuff like that. It's a great way to support a streamer, of you know, somebody's content that you really enjoy. And yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to, man. And like, dude, I'm so psyched. I honestly, so it kind of started off something, you know, where I was just doing it for fun, you know, something that just kind of made me happy and something that was just generally fun. So like when all of a sudden, like I started getting like, you know, some followers and, you know, I kind of started looking into like what it takes to be a Twitch affiliate, and then I just started grinding like crazy. Like, you know, when I wasn't working, I was pretty much streaming, and it takes a lot of work, and you have to network a lot, and you really have to like push on your social media presence and things like that. But I did it, and I did it in 2 weeks, which is like pretty good. From like what I understand, you know, most people it takes, you know, a couple months to do, you know, because not everybody is able to dedicate like as much time to it as I am, you know, thanks to doing like Uber and Lyft as a job, I'm able to have that flexible time to put a lot more time into it. So yeah, that's what I've been doing, guys. So, you know, if Twitch is something that you're into, you like watching people stream video games and creating content, go to my Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/CaptainHotSauce, all one word. It's CPT Hot Sauce, by the way. Also, follow my Twitter. It's CPT_HotSauce because somebody took Captain Hot Sauce.
How dare they?
How dare them? I am the only Captain Hot Sauce up in this biz.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely an exciting time for me, and it's not something that, like, at the moment, I'm not really looking to make it full time. You know, I'm just looking much like this, much like our podcast. You know, we want to build a community here. I'm looking to cultivate my own community on Twitch. And if you guys want to be a part of that, that's great. You guys can come check out my stream. And if you guys enjoy the content, drop me a follow. And then pretty soon, if you really enjoy the content, you can subscribe to my channel as well. I'm working on getting you know, sub badges made and emotes made, but that takes money, so yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh yeah, by the way, if you guys are like into like graphic design and like you can actually draw and like you're good at it, hit me up. Let me know. Cause I'm looking for an artist to do like, you know, my graphics and stuff like that.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, there is something actually that I do want to talk about. Because I've been, like, reevaluating, like, a lot of things and, like, being, like, a content creator and stuff. And, like, that's honestly what I'm starting to, like, look at myself as, you know, somebody that really just enjoys doing, like, all these different projects and, like, creating, like, special content. You know, Nerdy Boys Reviews is obviously an endeavor that we started, shit, like, 3 years ago.
4 years ago.
4 years. Jesus, it's been a while, guys. It's been a while. And if you guys have been with us since the beginning, I do want to say thanks.
I want to say sorry.
That too. no, in all seriousness, though, I want to apologize a little bit, though, because I feel like on a certain level, I haven't made the same sort of commitment that I made to Twitch. Like I really grinded the hell out of Twitch over like the last 2 weeks and really made like a really strong commitment into it, just to see, you know, if I can achieve making an affiliate. And I feel like on some level, like, I mean, I love doing podcasting and never see myself ever stopping. But on some level, I feel like maybe I haven't thrown that same level of commitment into podcasting as I have doing Twitch. And it has nothing to do with not loving it or anything like that, because I totally love doing this. But that's something like I want to work on, like just bringing up the commitment level. For you guys, you know, being able to create better content for you guys. You know, Christian is much of the entirety of you know, Nerdy Boys. He makes like pretty much everything happen. He's much of the brains of the operation.
I don't have a brain.
Yeah, you did.
No, I know what you're saying. I think it's a little different with podcasting, because with Twitch you can just kind of log on and, you know, play.
Right.
Whereas with, I mean, obviously, prep work to make your channel look nice and things like that. But with podcasting, you have to kind of be a little organized. You have to prepare. You have to get content ready. You know, like, it's a little different. You know, we can just be sitting down and you can be like, let's podcast. But if we don't know what we're going to talk about or whatever, like, hey, let's talk about cosplay. Then there's still some prep work to do some research to find out, you know, so we're not just saying random things, making assumptions and whatever. So with podcasting, there is time needed to prepare and things like that. So, you know, on some level, you know, you can understand that. And then with streaming, it's just you, so you don't have to worry about it. Whereas with podcasting, it's two of us. We right. have to both be ready. We have to both be feeling it. We have to both have energy, you know, and everything like that. So it's a little more difficult. Whereas, like, if it was just you, maybe you would do it a little more often. Like, and maybe you feel like sometimes you don't have as much control over it or something, you know, maybe you feel like, we don't see, the thing is, we do a podcast together, we live together, maybe we don't communicate as much as, you know, we should. We're the kind of people that feel like we know each other so well that, like, we assume everything instead of just saying something or asking something. You know, it's just like we already assume it, so we never talk about it or whatever, you know. So it's like, you might think, oh, well, Christian doesn't look like he wants to podcast or whatever. Or, you know, you might feel like, oh, I want to talk about this, but Christian might not, so I don't want to really bring it up or, you know, whatever. So, you know, there are other things that go into that, you know. And, again, this is me just assuming things because we haven't talked about it. But, you know, like, with podcasting, there's definitely I feel like we should
commit a little bit
more, you know, like, make sure, like, we are preparing and doing everything we need to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we frequently, you know, put a lot of time and effort into thinking about what's next for this and how we're going to accomplish things and everything.
Yeah.
So
it's see, like, the way I like to think about, like, content creating, there's, like, different things you can, like, different ways you can do content creation, and streaming is on the fly sort of content creation. Like, yeah, you kind of follow a schedule, but, like, everything you're talking about is all on the fly and really depends on, like, your audience and, like, how they're reacting to you, who's viewing you,
right,
all that stuff. And, like, what, like, you know, you're only really, like, live reacting to, like, what's happening in your gameplay and stuff like that. Whereas, like, you know, podcast is, like, a lot of, like, for lack of a better word, like, premeditated, you know, it's all planned in a sense, you know. We don't script anything by any means, but We the only thing scripted in our podcast is our intro, literally, is the only thing. And everything else is on the fly thinking, and we have conversations.
Right.
All these different things. But
we do pull content, obviously, for news and stuff like that. So, like, that's all content, you know, we have to prepare and pull and make sure, like, it's accurate and things like that. And, you know, with anything else with movies, you know, we have to probably watch it once or twice before we talk about it, you know, make sure we're up to date on it, maybe right. do some research, see, you know, because there's different things you want to talk about, whether it's a, if it's a good adaption, if it's this or that, you know. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into this, and it's not, we don't have that live interaction with you guys, unfortunately, but you know, that's
something that we're gonna work on, obviously. Yeah, we plan to someday have more live content available for, you know, our listeners or viewers, or, you know, however you want to refer to, you know, our audience.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, basically I just want to give you guys like a renewed sense of like commitment from myself, you know, Christian obviously puts in a lot of work. But I feel like maybe I've lacked in that sort of responsibility, and, you know, just want you guys to like feel like we're consistent, and maybe that's something we haven't been, and I think a lot of times falls on me more than Christian. So I just like want you guys to like feel like that renewed sense of commitment from myself, and just apologize, you know, that I haven't been the most consistent for, you know, you guys, because that's what I really want to be. But yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty much kept catching up with the Nerdy Boys.
You did make a major life decision. That you haven't.
I'm awesome.
Well, that's not really a decision, you know. That's just a state of being. But yeah, yeah. You made a major life decision about your hair. And so that's kind of important.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna grow my hair out.
Yeah, that's
true story.
It's pretty huge.
So, okay, if you guys never follow us on Instagram, what the fuck are you guys doing with your life? First off, dude, oh my god, like, follow us, Nerdy Boys Reviews on Instagram, bro. Yeah, you guys can see cosplay pictures. Unfortunately, that's the thing that hecka bugged me, is, like, when I had long hair, and it was, like, super banging, it was, like, Jon Snow level hair, it, you know, to kind of give you an idea, it's, like, pretty much identical hair to his. Best way, you know, it's, like, I didn't take very many pictures outside of, like, when we went to a convention or something, which, like, really annoys me. But now it's, like, because I rock, like low fades and stuff like that now. And but now I'm going to grow my hair out, boys and girls.
It's the resurgence.
The resurgence of the hair.
Yeah.
I have a plan. See, by the time I'm done growing my hair out, I should have lost all this weight. And I can start cosplaying as Jason Momoa. I mean, Aquaman.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
I mean, all I would have to do is just, like, pretty much, like, dye, like, the ends, like, blonde, like he has. But it's, like, same hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have, like, good hair for certain cosplays, like Jon Snow. And see, that was the whole point of me, like, growing out, like a couple of years ago, was so I can cosplay as Jon Snow. And I always, like, wanted long hair, but, like, never had the courage to go through with it. But then I went through with it, and I loved it. But then I hated it, so I cut it, and now I regret it, and now I'm going to grow it out again.
We're going to get it done, boys.
And I'm going to keep it better maintained this time. Oh, I didn't maintain it very well. Anyways, enough rambling. We're going to get into the news.
This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studio. Back to you.
Okay. Hey, guys. It was San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. Did you know that?
What? No way, dude.
Yeah. So we got, like, trailers for, like, every out fucking thing. Out the wazoo. Yeah, we're not going to talk about all of them. We'll talk about three of them. Right?
Three?
Aquaman, Shazam, and Titans.
And a fourth special one. I don't... Oh, wait. Did you watch Glass? The trailer for Glass?
No.
Really?
But you can talk about it.
Oh, my God.
It
was amazing.
I think I'm less interested in that horror stuff than you. Yeah. But yeah, we'll talk. I'll let you talk about that. But yeah, for Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Riverdale, Gifted, Cloak and Dagger, got trailers for all of those. Also got an Iron Fist little teaser trailer and a release date of September 7th for that. And Doctor Who Season 11 with Jodie Whittaker as the new Doctor. And Young Justice Outsiders, which is going to be on the DC streaming service, they got a trailer. But the big ones, the big ones are Aquaman, Shazam, and Titans, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
So, yes. You watched all of them, right?
Did you yeah. No, I watched them
Okay.
all.
We'll start with, well, Titans will probably have the most to say, so we'll just start with Aquaman. Aquaman was good, yeah?
Yeah, I thought it was pleasant. Pleasant surprise. I think...
Yeah, there's... So, we know Ocean Master is going to be a big part of it. That's his, like, right. half-brother or whatever, step-brother or whatever. And then Black Manta, who looks pretty fucking awesome, if I do say so. You know, it's, right. it's hard to, like... think with the way DC's kind of gone with Warner Brothers that you'd get a Black Manta in his like regular costume like that and stuff that right. it doesn't look, you know, robotic or weird or something, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it looked really good and I thought the effects looked cool. And it doesn't look like they're going to do the stupid, you know, we need a big bubble around us to talk underwater like they did in Justice League.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So here's my thing is like it looked overly CGI'd. Like plastered wall to wall.
Yeah, the shark at the beginning, like when he was a kid at the aquarium, didn't look really good.
Yeah, like I can't quite put my finger on it. Like it just I don't know. It almost feels like you could see like the green screen a little bit. Like it's so overly CGI'd in that way. And another thing I didn't like about it is like it almost felt like they gave you the entirety of like the movie in the trailer. You know. They don't leave much to, like, the imagination.
Right.
For this film.
Which is maybe what they were going for because, you know, I mean, we've been waiting so long and everything. And
I mean, I don't agree with it, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a good trailer and it makes me excited. But I do still have my reservations. Obviously, it's DC. They haven't put out good products.
Aside from Wonder Woman, right? So.
Well, yeah, other than Wonder Woman. And then, like, even, like, now thinking back, it's like some of the CGI wasn't all that great in that movie either, you know?
Right.
I would love to revisit that movie.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely feel
like
should.
I would definitely give it, like, a different score now, but that's neither here nor there. But Aquaman, I'm more excited.
I'm I wouldn't optimistic.
Say, yeah, exactly.
Which I maybe wouldn't is a say, mistake. Like,
yeah, It creates a little bit of optimism in the trailer, but I still have my reservations. I still annoyed that I feel like there's nothing really going to be in the movie that's going to surprise me now. You know, I feel like they gave away so much in the trailer.
Yeah, it's possible. But on another note, Shazam, this movie looks like it's changing the formula. It's doing something not Warner Brothers DC, not
Dude,
Snyderverse.
I must say, I am pumped for Shazam. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was really hoping that they would have it where he becomes Shazam and like as the adult god Shazam kind of person, he acts like a kid because
right.
he is a kid, you know, whereas in the Kingdom Come and things like that, like he's just like this really angry, abusive person.
right.
So like I was like, oh, this, you know... And it really works, you know. I think they're going with...
It looks like a super fun movie.
Yeah, and I think they're kind of not going all the way to where Marvel is with humor and stuff, but, like, meeting them a little halfway yeah. between what they're doing, which they should.
Looks somewhat campy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it looks...
I still don't like the yellow lightning bolt.
Yeah, don't care for that. But, man, this it's gearing up to be a good movie. I'm so interested to see... the transition, like the effect, like what sort of CGI effects they're gonna use the transition between Billy and Shazam.
Yeah.
Like I wonder how they're gonna portray that on screen.
Should just be a lightning bolt, like a blue lightning bolt that comes down and hits him and changes him, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what I would do. I don't know what they're going to do. And just to be clear, I know that a lot of versions of his comic book costume has a yellow lightning bolt, but it's not like the weird, shiny, like, electricity lightning bolt on in this.
Yeah. But, man.
Yeah, yeah. But
I'm really pumped for Shazam, and maybe that's a mistake in a way, but... It looks like it has a very rich story to it as well.
Yeah.
Not just looks cool and feels like more like light toned and stuff like that. Like it actually has like very serious underlining tones to the film and like real world problems and things like that.
And a unique cinematography. Yes. Not like the same shit in every DC movie.
Yes. Not where, like, fucking looks like somebody turned off the lights on the set and shit.
Right. but that's kind of a good transition into Titans, where everything is dark and gritty and Zack Snyder kind of looking, and it seems like they're going in that direction for the show instead of relying...
Titans looks like a steaming pile of shit.
It's hard to say. Like, I want to be fair to the show. Like, the trailer could be very misleading. We're not getting everything, obviously. It's just, you know, 3 minutes of whatever they're giving us. It's hard to make a judgment based on the trailer on what the show's going to be. But based on just this trailer, it looks terrible. Like,
right.
Right. So, we know DC Warner Brothers, they could hire camels to write their scripts.
Pretty much.
We know that. The camels that piss in the Bud Light cans. We've been over this. But... did they hire those camels for Starfire's costume and Beast Boy's costume and like what whoever whatever else character Raven's costume and then hire like the best seamstresses in the world for Hawk and Dove and Robin? Like, why are their costumes so much more shit than Robin's and Hawk and Dove's?
Well, yeah, like Hawk and Dove's amazing suit. Robin's amazing suit. And then you have this, like, as Jamar would have put it on Twitter, this little Hot Topic punk.
Yes.
Playing Raven.
Also,
I mean, we didn't get enough of Beast Boy to make a...
No, we literally just saw him jump or something.
Yeah, with, like, green skin, and you're just like, okay. But Starfire looks awful.
Shooting flames? She doesn't shoot flames. She shoots beams, beams, but whatever. I mean, obviously this is an adaption. They can make changes as they see fit. So, you know, we won't talk too much about that right now. But if you want to talk about changes that are concerning, are they're Dick Grayson. I mean, Dick Grayson, as a middle-aged person, should be Nightwing right now, right? Like,
right, yeah, exactly.
And more serious. Like, Nightwing isn't totally serious, but he is a little more serious than he was as a kid, as Robin. Like, they're just like, guys, let's put Jason Todd and Damian Wayne together and call him Dick Grayson for this TV show. Like,
exactly. Oh, my gosh, man. I was excited for Titans. I'm definitely not excited now. I might give it a chance, and I'll probably stop watching after the first episode.
Yeah, it's not something that looks great. It looks like they're like, hey, guys, you know how we make decent television shows already? Let's just make terrible ones now. Like... I know not everybody's a fan of the CW shows and stuff, but they're generally pretty good, right?
Yeah. And speaking about the CW shows, we started making our way through The Flash today. Let me tell you, some edge of the seat type stuff going on.
Right, yeah, now. I actually read something recently that like the headline was like why season 4 of The Flash was terrible or something. So I take it people didn't really like it very much, but I'm going to wait to finish it to judge for myself. I didn't read the article, obviously, because I didn't want any spoilers.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need
to catch
up. But
that's also the reason why we haven't watched the trailers for Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends.
Yeah, we are caught up on Riverdale Gifted and Gifted, but not Cloak and Dagger.
But yeah, we won't be watching those trailers until we finish these seasons. That way nothing's given away to us.
Yeah, I watched the Riverdale one. It pretty much was just a recap of last season with, like, they were, like, swimming or something at the end.
That's what they did, like, after season one, right? Like, I'm pretty sure.
Probably. I didn't watch the Gifted one, but we love the Gifted, obviously. So. Yeah. I did watch the Doctor Who trailer. There's nothing much in it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm still catching up on that. So, yeah, that's all that. The Iron Fist teaser was literally just him fighting in the street. Pretty useless. We know certain things about Iron Fist Season 2 that are a little more optimistic, make you more excited than for Season 1, probably, but I don't know still. So we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, so Netflix has unveiled a slate of Mark Millar projects for film and television. Netflix has announced its first slate of films and series that will be based on the stories of comic writer Mark Millar. Netflix acquired Millar's company, Miller World, last year, and since then has been developing projects in Mark and Lucy Millar, including The Magic Order, which has been published as Netflix's first comic book and was the biggest-selling new comic book franchise in nearly 20 years. Holy shit, that's pretty cool. Millar said, "My wife Lucy and I are 11 months into our jobs at Netflix, and it's everything we hoped for to the power of 10. To see a movie based on your work every couple of years is incredibly exciting, but to see them all happening at once like this, and with talent this high end, is just off the scale. These are writers and directors I've privately been sending fan mail to over the last 18 months, so to be working with them all is just enormously exciting. This really is the greatest creative environment I've ever worked in. I cannot wait to switch on my computer every morning." Cool.
Bro.
So the original series is to be...
Apparently he lives in like the 90s still.
Yeah, very posh. I don't know. I have no idea if he's English. I don't really care, to be honest.
That has nothing to do with being in the 90s, like the early 2000s. Turning on your computer to check your email and
yes,
stuff.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, yes, pretty sure that's all at the fingertips.
Yeah.
Now, bud.
Get a cell phone. So the first of the original series that's going to be produced is Jupiter's Legacy. It's a multi-generational American superhero epic. Jupiter's Legacy follows the world's first generation of superheroes who received their powers in the 1930s. In present day, they are the revered Elder Guard, but their superpowered children struggle to live up to the legendary feats of their parents. Steven S. DeKnight from Marvel's Daredevil, Spartacus, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who recently signed an overall deal with Netflix, will serve as showrunner and executive producer with Lorenzo D. Bonaventura and Dan McDermott also serving as executive producers for the series. DeKnight will also direct the first episode. The next series is American Jesus, multilingual Spanish and English series. American Jesus follows a 12-year-old boy who suddenly discovers he's returned as Jesus Christ. He can turn water into wine, make the crippled walk, and perhaps even raise the dead. How will he deal with the destiny to lead the world in a conflict thousands of years in the making? Everardo Gout from Marvel's Luke Cage, Sacred Lies, Mars, Banshee, Aqua, and La Tierra, and Leopoldo Gout from Molly's Game and Instinct will serve as co-showrunners and executive producers on the series. Everardo Gout will also direct. The film projects include Empress. Empress is about Queen Emporia, who is married to literally the worst dictator in the galaxy, King Morax. After escaping his palace with her children, Emporia and her family must hide from Morax and his army at all costs, even if it takes teleporting from planet to planet to avoid them. Writer, okay, I don't care about the writers. That just sounds like Battlestar Galactica, to be honest. Huck, okay, we read Huck. You read some of Huck.
I think so.
Yeah, I read all of Huck. Huck is great. Huck is a story. It says, in a quiet seaside town, Huck uses his special gifts to do a good deed each day. His neighbors return the favors by keeping his abilities a secret, but when a newcomer alerts the media, a firestorm erupts, sending Huck on an adventure that will change everything. Ted Melfi from Hidden Figures and St. Vincent is adapting the comic book into a feature film with Neil H. Moritz and Toby Jaffe set to produce. And the final film that they're doing is Sharky the Bounty Hunter. Set in a brilliant new sci-fi universe, Sharky is a blue-collar bounty hunter tracking criminals across the galaxy in his converted rocket-powered ice cream truck. Aided and abetted by his 10-year-old partner, he's out for the biggest bounty of his career. Sharky the Bounty Hunter will be adapted and published as a Miller World Netflix comic next year, and writer Michael Bacall from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and 21 Jump Street is writing the screenplay for the feature film.
Nice. I mean, a lot of those I haven't really read, but yeah.
Yeah, I've only read Huck. The other ones I haven't read, but they sound. Yeah.
I think I read like some of the issues for Huck.
Yeah.
Not all of them, though. So, next bit of news, surprise! Star Wars The Clone Wars returning with new episodes. In a move that will come to as a surprise to many Star Wars fans, Lucasfilms has announced they are bringing back the beloved series Star Wars The Clone Wars for an all-new episodes to debut on the upcoming Disney streaming service, just announced by Dave Filonia? I don't know.
Filonia.
Sure. Who did Star Wars Rebels at San Diego Comic-Con during the 10th anniversary celebration of the beloved animated series. Star Wars The Clone Wars will be returning with 12 all-new episodes on Disney's direct-to-consumer service. Created by George Lucas, the show first aired in 2008 and became an entry point into Star Wars for an entire generation, following fan favorites like Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Padme. While introducing major new characters like Jedi Padawan Ahsoka Tano and Captain Rex, it became a multi-Emmy winning and now is regarded as essential Star Wars. That's good to know.
Yes.
But it was never finished. The Clone Wars ended after five broadcast seasons, just as Ahsoka left the Jedi Order. A few post season 5 episodes were later released as The Last Missions, but the story wasn't over. Filoni had this to say: any opportunity to put the final pieces of the story in place is meaningful as a storyteller. I'm happy for the opportunity to define these things and the end of this part of the Clone Wars. It also makes me reflect on all the people that I got to work with over the years. It reinforces the things I learned from George. It reminds me of the important elements that go into making Star Wars. So it's nice on several levels. And I think for the crew that's still here that worked on Clone Wars, they feel that as well.
Yeah, Clone Wars was great. So I'm very excited for this, and I just can't fucking wait, to be honest.
I must admit, I've never watched Clone Wars.
Well, lucky for you, it's on Netflix, if you have the time.
But I have heard a lot of great things about it, and it's not because I never wanted to watch it, it's just never got around to it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So moving on to some DC news. Greg Berlanti is developing a Batwoman TV series for the CW. Deadline is reporting that Greg Berlanti from The Flash and Arrow is officially working on bringing a Batwoman TV series to the CW. Caroline Dreese from Smallville in The Vampire Diaries is writing the potential pilot based on the DC character. Arrow's Stephen Amell announced back in May at the CW upfront presentation that Batwoman would be introduced to the CW's DCU in this fall's crossover event. Batwoman, aka Kate Kane, would be the first gay lead character of a live-action superhero show. Because that's important to point out, guys. In Batwoman, armed with a passion for social justice and a flair for speaking her mind, Kate Kane soars onto the streets of Gotham as Batwoman, an out lesbian and highly trained street fighter primed to snuff out the failing city's criminal resurgence. But don't call her a hero yet. In a city desperate for a savior, Kate must overcome her own demons before embracing the call to be Gotham's symbol of hope. Wow, that sounds a lot like Arrow.
Yay.
The character was first introduced in Detective Comics in 1956 and was reimagined for DC Comics New 52 as a Jewish lesbian, the first lesbian superhero for a title DC character. Kane is a wealthy heiress who becomes inspired by Batman and chooses to also put her wealth and resources towards a campaign to fight crime as a mass vigilante in her home of Gotham City. Arrow and The Flash have both teased that Gotham City did exist in the Arrowverse, such as when Amell's Oliver Queen name-dropped Bruce Wayne this season on Arrow. Berlanti Productions will produce in association with Warner Brothers Television, and Dreese, who will likely consult on behalf of the character during the crossover event. Executive producing along with Berlanti, Sarah Schechter, and DC's Jeff Johns. Casting will begin soon to fill the role of Batwoman. The next CW crossover event is set to air in December of 2018. If the pilot is picked up, the series could air in 2019.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Batwoman. I don't think, it's unfortunate that they have to point out that she's Jewish and lesbian and stuff, but
yeah, I mean, I think it's just a thing where I think because of where we fall in our age range and stuff, things like that don't really it's just integrated into our lives at this point and stuff. Right. But representation is important for people and stuff. Like, to us, all we care about is it a good product, and is the person good for the job?
Right. It's great that they are doing a series with a Jewish lesbian, as they characterize. And it's, unfortunate that we have to point that out, though, in this day and age.
Yes. Okay, another news. Jeff Johns reveals a Stargirl series coming to the DC Universe. From his spotlight panel at San Diego Comic-Con, comic scribe and TV film producer Jeff Johns has announced yet another series coming to the DC Universe streaming service with Stargirl, a creation. Johns is in the pages of the DC Comics, and the series will see the character on a mission to bring back the legacy of the Justice Society. Johns will write and produce the series through his Mad Ghost production banner alongside Greg Berlanti and Berlanti Productions. Stargirl joins an increasing roster of the new DC-based shows coming to the DC Universe, including Titans, the live-action TV series based on the teenage heroes, Young Justice Outsiders, the long-awaited continuation of the fan-favorite animated series, Harley Quinn, and an all-new animated series starring the villain turned anti-hero Doom Patrol, a spinoff of the Titans series starring the weirdest group of heroes, and Swamp Thing, an all-new live-action series based on a fan-favorite character. The DC Universe service will also offer classic TV series and films, a curated selection of digital comic books, breaking news, and expansive DC-centric encyclopedia, and access to exclusive merchandise as well. Fans will also be able to connect within the DC community, earn premium rewards, and participate in sweepstakes and contests. Guys, it sounds like I'm like a sponsored like reader of some sort, but I'm not. Slated for release in fall 2018, fans in the United States can now pre-order DC Universe at DCUniverse.com for early membership. The fees, I guess, is about $75 plus tax if applicable in your state. Monthly memberships will be available at launch for $8 a month, apparently.
Yeah, big news on the pricing there, guys. Plus tax. Plus they can't charge you tax, and that's annoying, dude. Ugh, I hate that. Anyway, Zazie Beetz is in talks to join Joaquin Phoenix and the Joker. Did we have anything to say about Stargirl? Did you have anything to say about Stargirl? Is cool, guys. I like Stargirl. I don't know if she needs her own series. Anyway, Zazie Beetz in talks to join Joaquin Phoenix in the Joker, fresh off her Emmy nomination for the hit comedy series Atlanta. The Hollywood Reporter brings word that actress Zazie Beetz is in talks to join Joaquin Phoenix in the upcoming Joker. The outlet notes that details are being kept under wraps by Beetz. Mm-hmm. No, not by Beetz, sorry. But Beetz would play a single mother who catches the interest of the man who will become the clown prince of crime. He's going to wear a crown, guys, okay? Fans will also recognize Beetz for her portrayal of Domino in this year's Deadpool 2. She's expected to reprise that role in X-Force and the X-Force movie as well. Okay. Zazie Beetz is great, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Joker movie.
Cool, dude. Joker. Oh, my God. Because he totally needs his own, like, movie without Batman and stuff. Because, yeah, I make such a good film. Aww. I hate you all. I hate it. Should I read that one or just go to this one? Okay, Joker movie release date set for October 2019. Cool. All right.
Is there nothing else in there?
No. Who cares?
Okay. Lobo is confirmed as the big bad for Krypton season 2. Also, guys, we need to watch Krypton, all right? We're really far behind. We haven't watched any of Krypton.
Any. I blame you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it still going on, or did it end? I know it started in March, so there might still be episodes, right?
No. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't announce news if the first season was still going on.
They do it all the time.
Dude, no.
Sci-Fi and DC Entertainment announced at the Krypton Comic-Con panel that the intergalactic bounty hunter Lobo is making his way to the series. The character will be the big bad for the new season, with casting still underway. Created in 1984 by Roger Slipher and Keith Giffen, Lobo is a Zarnian, originally Valorpian bounty hunter who, as a nearly indestructible anti-hero, drives a space-faring motorcycle across the cosmos in search of his next target. The character has fought some of the most powerful members of the DCU, including Superman, Hal Jordan, Martian Manhunter, and Deathstroke. Why wouldn't they just say Green Lantern? Why do they have to specify? I don't know why that matters. Some versions of the character have erred on the side of sillier tales, seeing the character take down his fourth grade teacher and even the big man himself, Santa Claus. The arrival of Lobo on the small screen comes as a bit of a surprise, as the studio has been reportedly developing a feature film centered around the character with an eye toward Michael Bay directing, because, you know, explosions. WB is apparently considering the character their answer to Ryan Reynolds' successful Deadpool franchise at 20th Century Fox. You don't have to answer everything someone else does.
Lol, that's speculation. Lol.
Just make a movie, dude.
Kappa.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. That is a false claim right there, by the way, boys. That's how you read between the lines of a false claim. Guaranteed that's not their answer. If that was their answer, they'd make Lobo like a movie by itself.
Well, that's what they're talking about. That's what they were talking about.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
fake news. Whatever, dude. Jordan Calloway upped to series regular as Black Lightning's Painkiller. The CW and DC Entertainment have announced that Jordan Calloway returns as DC villain Painkiller in Black Lightning's sophomore season. Guest starring as Khalil Payne in season one, Calloway's promotion to series regular was revealed by showrunner slash executive producer Salem Akil during Black Lightning's Comic-Con 2018 panel.
Yeah, so that'll be cool, I guess, to see.
Yes, see his fake dreads again.
Dreads Mickey back.
Is obviously fake dreads.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you would think in, like, today's, like, you know, aesthetic, CGIs and stuff like that, you'd be able to, like, make it a little bit more, like, real looking.
Yeah, he also plays that douchebag football player in Riverdale.
Yeah. Yeah,
with no dreads. So, yeah, the Spider-Verse movie adds more Spider-Men to its roster. Because who would have
cool.
thought? From the Sony Pictures panel at San Diego Comic-Con, the studio has confirmed three more Spider-Men joining the cast of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse with the addition of Kimiko Glenn from Orange is the New Black as SP Dr. A.K.A. Penny Parker, comedian John Mulaney as Spider-Ham, and the previously revealed Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir. John Mulaney's hilarious. I fucking love that guy. So it'll be cool to have him as Spider-Ham.
Cool. Okay, Spider-Man Far From Home cast adds Numan Akar. Deadline reports that Turkish actor Numan Akar from Disney's upcoming live-action Aladdin and Prison Break has joined the cast of the upcoming Spider-Man Far From Home. The outlet said the outlet says not much is known about the character, though he will go by the name Dimitri. Do you know that name?
They'll explain a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, let me keep reading then. One key Spider-Man character that goes by that name is the villain Chameleon, the master of disguise and half-brother of villain Kraven the Hunter. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities for Spider-Man's villain to play a smaller role in the new movie, as Spider-Man Homecoming featured appearance by two different versions of the Shocker, plus the Tinker and the Prowler, in addition to the Vulture as its main baddie. This, however, is just speculation.
See, they told you that time. They didn't want to get called out again.
Exactly.
They didn't want you to go in on him. So, yeah. Dimitri, yeah, that's the only Dimitri I know. I mean, it sounds like a Russian name. The only Russian I know is Alexei the Rhino. But, yeah. So, anyway.
You saved the best for last.
I did, yeah. Biggest news. This is the last piece of news we have, guys. Big news. Shocking news. James Gunn fired from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. James Gunn released this statement to Entertainment Weekly on his firing from the upcoming Guardians sequel, saying, "My words of nearly a decade ago were, at the time, totally failed and unfortunate efforts to be provocative. I have regretted them for many years since, not just because they were stupid, not at all funny, wildly insensitive, and not provocative like I had hoped, but also because they don't reflect the person I am today, or have been for some time. Regardless of how much time has passed, I understand and accept the business decisions taken today. Even these many years later, I take full responsibility for the way I conducted myself then. All I can do now, beyond offering my sincere and heartfelt regret, is to be the best human being I can be, accepting, understanding, committed to equality, and far more thoughtful about my public statements and my obligations to our public discourse. To everyone inside my industry and beyond, I again offer my deepest apologies. Love to all." Pretty good statement. Obviously, something he needed to say. And it's good he's taking responsibility. He's also apologizing. He's doing everything he needs to do. That being said, Disney did everything they needed to do. In a shocking development via The Hollywood Reporter, Walt Disney Studios has fired writer-director James Gunn from the forthcoming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the sequel to the filmmaker's first two massively successful Guardians of the Galaxy films for Marvel Studios. The move comes after several conservative personalities pulled old tweets by the director from 2009 to 2012, in which he made transgressive jokes about rape and pedophilia. He has since ceased posting on his Twitter account. Walt Disney Studios Chairman Alan Horn, in a statement, said the offensive attitudes and statements discovered on James's Twitter feed are indefensible and inconsistent with our studio's values, and we have severed our business relationship with him. Before leaving his account, Gunn tweeted, "Many people have followed my career who have followed my career know when I started, I viewed myself as a provocateur, making movies and telling jokes that were outrageous and taboo. As I have discussed publicly many times, as I've developed as a person, so has my work and my humor. Earlier this year, director James Gunn revealed that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 would be released in 2020. Filming was scheduled to start this fall in Atlanta, but it is unknown if the film will keep this schedule. The third Guardians film was meant to be the final outing for the original team lineup and set up future films in the cosmic arena of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is not the first time Gunn's irreverent humor has come back to haunt him. In 2012, not long after he had been given the job to helm the first Guardians, an article posted on his site in 2011 titled "The 50 Superheroes You Most Wanted to Have Sex With" came under scrutiny. While it was Gunn's attempt to parody sexist attitudes of comic fans, some of his writing was a bit too extreme and often mirrored real-life comments from toxic fan culture. This is what Gunn said in a statement in 2012. "A couple of years ago, I wrote a blog that was meant to be satirical and funny. In rereading it over the past day, I don't think it's funny. The attempted humor in the blog does not represent my actual feelings. However, I can see where the statements were poorly worded and offensive to many. I'm sorry I regret making them to at all. People who are familiar with me as evidenced by my Facebook page and other mediums know that I'm outspoken proponent of the rights of gay and lesbian community, women, and anyone who feels disenfranchised. And it kills me that some other outsider like myself, despite his or her gender or sexuality, might feel hurt or attacked by something I said. We are all in the same camp, and I want to do my best to make this world a better place for all of us. I'm learning all the time. I promise to be more careful with my words in the future, and I will do my best to be funnier as well. Much love to all." Kind of sounds a little like his most recent statement as well. "While the controversy ultimately did not cost Gunn his job at the time, the cultural climate has shifted in recent years, with Marvel's parent company Disney recently firing Roseanne Barr from her sitcom Roseanne for making racist remarks on Twitter. It is unknown who will take over for Gunn on Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or if the film will be canceled altogether. The film was a critical box office smash, grossing $773 million in 2014, with the 2017 sequel Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 grossing $863 million. Gunn's blend of edgy humor and genuine emotion set a classic rock soundtrack helped define the series and even served as an advisor to the Russo brothers when they took on the characters for this year's Avengers Infinity War." So yeah, it's not an easy thing to talk about, I guess. But I think Disney did the only thing they could do. I think they needed to fire him after those resurfaced. I know a lot of people are defending him, saying that Disney's giving in to these right-wingers who are purposely trying to get him fired and bring up these things. But at the end of the day, he said those things. He tweeted those things. Yeah. That was his decision. He has to take responsibility, as he did. He did the right thing, taking responsibility for it. But there's no excuse for that. All he did was explain it. It doesn't excuse what he said or did. And so Disney did what they could, what they had to do. And I think they absolutely did the right thing.
Yeah, I lost all respect for this guy once I found all this stuff out. Guy's a piece of shit, dude. Straight up. Like, I don't care if it was meant in a satirical sense and it was meant to be funny and stuff. Yeah, dude. Pedophilia is super funny, dude.
Right.
Yeah, dude. Great fucking banter, you fucking retard. I'm so glad fucking Disney got rid of his punk ass, dude. Fuck you.
Yeah,
honestly.
Aside what we can say about James Gunn and kind of how he's been revealed to be. This isn't surprising. It shouldn't be surprising to anyone. This is what has been going on for years, in the way that anytime someone does something or says something we don't like, in today's day and age, especially if they are huge personalities, huge celebrities like this, we don't just say we disagree with it, shut up, whatever.
Right.
We destroy that person's life. That's right. What happens. I mean, it might not be right necessarily, but this is what's been going on. You know, when all the sexual harassment stuff came out, all this stuff, we're finding out how scummy Hollywood really is.
Right.
Everything's coming out, and companies need to take action, and that's what they're doing. As much as you can say, oh, well, maybe he's changed this or that, Disney has to listen to their fan base at some point, and their fan base was outraged about this.
It doesn't matter whether or not he was serious about the comments, whether he truly believes that or whatever. See, look, here's the thing, and a lot of people, this is a huge thing right now, is whether or not people should be, like, held, like, liable, like, or is it, like, grounds on firing for what you post on social media? Absolutely, because once you are hired by a company, no matter what your job title is, you are now a representative of that company. So then
right.
you must, yes, you have the right to say what you want.
But there's consequences.
But there are consequences to the things you say. When you work in the United States, many states are at will states, meaning technically companies don't even have to have a reason to give to you. And when you post things on social media that now harms the image of a company, that's grounds for firing, guys. It's not magic. It's not, oh, they're right leaning. Oh my God, dude. Like, you know, what's the,
alt-right stuff like
no,
that.
No, no, no.
Conservative.
Politically correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, SJW, it's not that, whatever. Dude. It's all about company image. And above all, image for a company is the most important thing.
And it definitely is Disney's saving face. Like, I don't know this for a fact, but we all are pretty sure that Disney knew about these tweets when they hired him.
More than likely.
And, you know, he even came out and apologized before, which, you know, was about that superheroes you want to have sex with or whatever thing. But it sounds to me, right, and we don't have time to talk about this, and we're not experts on psychology and different things like that, and on if people can be reformed and get better and this and that. But based on his statements, it seems to me that he really was that person, that kind of like pedophile kind of person, because he said, you know, I'm not that person anymore or whatever. Maybe he means not that person to tell those jokes or whatever, but, you know, like, he, you know, mentioned he's ashamed of who he was and stuff like that, which kind of indicates to me that he maybe, you know, was a diddler or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Straight up, dude. And like, well, like, wasn't one of the tweets he said, like, yeah, I was checking out, like, I don't know the name of the organization, but, like, he was, like, checking out.
Oh, no, he retweeted.
Like a convention, yeah, about, like, a known pedophile like organization and shit, dude.
He retweeted,
like, dude, the shit it's like, literally, dude, I can't, things like this, dude, like, literally crawl under my skin, dude. I have no respect for him as a human being, dude.
Yeah, he straight retweeted up. Someone saying I had a great time at my first experience at NAMBLA, which is NAMBLA is a pedophile, you know, convention, people trying to normalize it and stuff, trying to get into like LGBT and stuff as like minority groups and protected classes and stuff. Like, these people are just insane. These NAMBLA, you know, pedophiles, yeah. Pretty much, like, and you know, we can talk about if people who used to think that way can be reformed and if we should hold them accountable for that for the rest of their life and whatever. I think society has made its judgment, though. Society doesn't think pedophiles can be reformed, but society doesn't care if they are different people. Society only cares that you once touched a child and destroyed that person for life, pretty much. But yeah, we don't have time to talk about that, but looking forward, let's be optimistic, let's be positive. Disney did the right thing. You and I agree on that. Some people are still defending James Gunn. Dave Bautista, who plays Drax the Destroyer, has defended James Gunn. A lot of people in the industry are defending.
He's a fucking idiot then.
Yeah.
He's a moron.
Yeah, anyway. Looking forward.
He could suck a fucking fat dick. Dude.
I know
that's
who
he could do.
I know who I want to direct Guardians 3. Taika Waititi, who did Thor Ragnarok. Is there anybody you would want?
No,
aside from that? Or?
No, just Taika. Yeah. Would be good for me, dude. Like, I think the job that he did on Thor Ragnarok was just phenomenal, and I think he grabbed a lot of inspiration from, you know, the work that James Gunn did do. And you know, we talk about, you know, separation of like, you know, the artist from the art and stuff. There's no denying, you know, the work that James Gunn did do was good work.
Right.
But he's still a piece of shit human. But yeah, like, I think, he would be a very good choice.
Yeah.
A very obvious choice too. Like, I think, you know, it's right there for the take. You might as well pull the trigger and just do that.
Yeah, and I understand, like, for some people it might make it difficult to watch these movies knowing that or whatever. But look at it this way, dude. Like, if the guy who painted the Mona Lisa was a child molester and raped and murdered people, it doesn't mean the Mona Lisa is all of a sudden a terrible piece of art, you know? Like, it's still one of the most revered pieces of art in the world. It's just the guy who did it was a scumbag. There are a lot of scumbags in the world, guys, and it's good that, you know, it doesn't matter who, you know, spend the time to pull all these records out and, you know, put James Gunn on blast and make this thing go viral. It doesn't matter if it's right wing, left wing, anybody. It's they did a thing, and now everybody's fully aware of who James Gunn was, and Disney did what they had to do, and that's and not a bad thing in my opinion. So
no, no, not at all.
So, anything else to say on that?
No.
Okay. Anyway, Comic-Con this year wasn't terrible. You know, we talked about most of the news. I'm sure people who went loved it. The unfortunate thing is there was no Marvel in Hall H this year.
Right.
But everything I read from tweets and everything, lines went by fast. Everybody got pretty good seats. There wasn't like 3-day lines for Hall H and shit, like where you're out there waiting all night long. Like people were showing up like hours before, like, you know, waiting 2 hours, getting good seats and everything, getting into the hall. So that right. can largely probably be attributed to the fact that Marvel wasn't there, but people still got good things. They got there was footage I know from Venom, which wasn't released to the public, obviously, and things like that. I'm sure there was more footage from the DC stuff that we didn't get because we weren't there. But yeah, it sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. Yeah. So.
Can't wait to like see more stuff trickle out of San Diego Comic-Con. Should be good good news segments coming up.
Yeah, definitely. So that's all of the news we have for you guys. That's everything we have on Comic-Con. We know we're behind on our movie reviews. We're going to get Return of the King done very soon. We're going to get Ant-Man and the Wasp. The thing with that is we've been trying to get like someone on to talk about that with us. That's why we just haven't done it. We just need to kind of worry about ourselves, I guess, though.
Yeah, like it came down to like we had, I think like two different guests lined up, and then something came up for both of them when we had it like scheduled, and maybe we should have just gone ahead and done the podcast ourselves. But I think we were really trying to get it. But yeah, now we're gonna get that stuff done for you guys really really soon.
Yeah. So you know, stay tuned for that. Lots of exciting things coming up. But yeah, that's everything we have, you guys. Thank you for sticking around. Make sure to give us a follow on all our social media, Nerdy Boys Reviews. You can find links to all of our social media through our website, nerdyboysreviews.com. We also are selling t-shirts through Amazon. There's a link to that on our website as well. So please check all that out. And thank you again for sticking with us. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And as always, we have one message for you, and that is stay nerdy, boys.